Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the apostle is telling the church here at Thessalonica and dealing with them about the coming of the Lord. They seem to think it has been delivered unto them that the Lord Jesus has already come. And he affirms to them that that is not the case. And then we see here as we come on down this chapter, he reminds them in verse number 5 that he has dealt with them about this and they've forgotten it. And may the Lord help us to understand and see that. And we see here in verse number 6 that what the scripture says, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. The Spirit of God is holding things back. The man of sin is going to be revealed." Verse number 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed." And so the Spirit of God, all the wrath of man will praise the Lord, and the remainder of wrath the Lord will restrain. He's in control of things. The Spirit of God, he is working to allow that which is pleased by God to be allowed and to restrain that which needs to be restrained. Even the man of sin is being restrained until the Spirit of God steps out of the way, that he might then be revealed in his time. What we want to concentrate on here this morning is these few words, this one word essentially, and the two mysteries at hand. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." There is a mystery of iniquity. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, the apostle writing to Timothy, a preacher of the Lord, pastor of one of the Lord's churches, pastor of the church of Ephesus, if we understand correctly. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." That's not talking about the building. All right, as we looked at and considered Wednesday, that's talking about the people that the Lord has put together in his local New Testament Baptist church. He's giving him instruction about that, which is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth, the pillar and the prop of the truth. We have that here at Olmsted Baptist Church because we have the Word of God, and the Lord is blessed with understanding in the context of the Scripture, and he's promised he will bless us. And he says here, verse 16, "And without controversy, without argument, without disputation, great is the mystery of godliness." So there is that mystery of iniquity that is at work, but praise God, there is the mystery, the great mystery of godliness at hand. What's he say? The clarifier, the revealing of it. God was manifest in the flesh. Did you know that God came down and became a man? He did. God was manifest in the flesh. This is a mystery. Justified in the Spirit. He obeyed the Lord completely. He is impeccable, the Lord Jesus is. He is God without the thought of sin, without the performance of sin, desiring to do everything perfectly to the will of the Father. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels as a man. They ministered to him. All right? Preached unto the Gentiles, if you can believe it. Amen. That's a blessing for us. It's the mystery of godliness that, yes, he was even preached unto the Gentiles and believed on in the world. It's a mystery that the Lord could be believed on in the world, but he has been and is, and then received up into glory. The mysteries of God, the mysteries that are here upon the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you, Father, for your word and the truth of it. Lord, help us that we might see glorious things out of your word, glorious and wonderful things out of the scripture. Lord, that we might see the big picture at hand. Lord, we might see the view that you see. And Lord, indeed, we will be blessed by that. Oh, Father, that we would take your word and apply it to our hearts and lives. Lord, to not just know that it's a book from you, but Lord, it's a book from you to us that we might hear you, believe you, trust you, and follow you in those things. Lord, in the working of your kingdom, in the coming of the Savior, and Lord, all the things that you are working, Lord, you've been pleased to include us. Help us to know about your scripture and to apply it to these lives and live for you till Jesus comes. Father, for those who are here and not saved, oh, that they might see this mystery of godliness. Lord, open their eyes as you did us. Open their hearts as you did our hearts. And Lord, show them Christ, precious to the salvation of their souls. Help now, we pray and bless, Father, and work in our midst. Meet with us and help. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. Here we have these two mysteries, the mystery of iniquity, that even in the day of the Apostle Paul, some 1950 years ago, he declared that that mystery is at work. That mystery of iniquity is at work. And then here he declares to Timothy that without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. There is no greater than that mystery, but they are mysteries. They are mysteries, and they're mysteries to natural man. What is a mystery? We talk about a mystery novel or a mystery a program or a mystery as how we refer to some entertainment that we engage in. What is that word mystery speaking about? Well, it's speaking about a secret. It's a secret. It's not known by all. It's not public to all. But there's some things that are there, that some things that are really true and really at hand, but they're not known. They're at work, okay? But they're not known. They are secret. And these two mysteries we considered, and the scripture bears out to us, the mystery of iniquity. What is the mystery of iniquity? Well, the mystery of iniquity is everything that is against the mystery of godliness. If we're going to just put a broad brush on its description, the mystery of iniquity is that which is against, is everything that is against the mystery of godliness. That is the mystery of iniquity. And it's at work. It's at work by the working of Satan. It's at work in the depravity of man. It's at work in the world system that is a result of those two. It is everything that is against the mystery of godliness. These mysteries are at hand. They're here. They've been at work our entire lives. They've been at work ever since Adam. They've been at work, well, the mystery of iniquity has even been at work possibly before that, hadn't it? There were Satan, Lucifer, fell from heaven. We don't know about the time frame of that, but we know that those things happen. The mystery of godliness has been at work ever since God has been. But these mysteries are at hand, aren't they? But the natural man, apart from the Word of God, does not even know that they are at work. Hear that? Because they're mysteries. They're secret. They're unknown to them. 2 Peter chapter 3. Take a look over here. And this, the attitude here of these that Peter tells about declares this and shows this attitude that these mysteries are at hand, but natural man, apart from the Word of God, does not even know they're at work. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 4, and saying of these that are scoffers, walking after their own desire, verse 3, verse number 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly are ignorant of, that the word of God, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished, and the heavens and the earth are kept in store. What's the attitude? Things are just the same as they always have been. What are you talking about? Mystery. There's no secret. It was this way when granddaddy was here and great granddaddy was here. And it's been this way all daddy's life. And it's been this way all my life. What are you talking about? Mysteries. Okay. And I know he's talking about relative to the return of the Lord. And they have heard that some have said that the Lord is returning, but said, this is just the world and the earth and the way it works. This has just been churning on all this time. There's nothing secret. There's nothing secret. But there is, isn't there? There are mysteries. And it says here, they are willingly are ignorant. See, when you don't know the mystery, when you don't know the secret, you are ignorant of it. You don't know it, right? And these, in regards to the return of the Lord, they are willingly ignorant, but they are yet ignorant, aren't they? They don't know that these mysteries are at hand, but they are at hand, and they are real, the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of godliness. What is it that Jesus said to Nicodemus? Again, I come back to it. I know I come back to it often, but it's so apropos for many, many subjects. Jesus said unto Nicodemus in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're not going to know the mystery of godliness. You're not going to know and understand about the mystery of iniquity being at work. Be a subject to it. Be in the throes of it, but not know that is there. We who have been saved, we know what we've been rescued from, right? I was the child of wrath. I did follow after the prince of this world, right? Didn't you, before the Lord saved you? Amen. And then we now know that. We know what we've, but the natural man without Christ and without the Word of God knows nothing about these mysteries at work. Because He doesn't see that there's a kingdom. He doesn't even know it's at hand. The Lord says on in John 3:5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that entering into the kingdom of God is indeed an understanding of the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness is at hand. Well, we'll not take time to look any more about the mystery of iniquity, because we're going to look at the mystery of godliness, and everything that's not that is could be classified under the mystery of iniquity. Okay, so we're just going to take a look at the real deal, and not worry about the mystery of iniquity. We indeed know that it's at hand, and we need to be understanding of Satan's devices in that. But the mystery of godliness will be our focus for the message this morning. In Romans chapter 16. We see this first point about the mystery of godliness. In Romans chapter 16, he's closing out the book and writing to the church there at Rome. And he says here in verse number 25, this first thing that we want to see about it, of Romans 16, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known this mystery to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. These mysteries have been hidden. But you know what? Even though they have been hidden by God, they have been revealed. They have been revealed. It's not a mystery to all. Natural man, it's a mystery unto him. But to we who are saved, it's been revealed. It's been revealed in the Scriptures. Don't you cling to the Scriptures and hold to what the Scriptures say as the facts of life and eternity for you? Do you believe what God says? I mean, do you really believe what God says? For we who have been saved and been convicted of such and been visited, this revelation of the mystery that has been kept secret, it's been revealed unto us. In Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm saying that we know everything about it, but we know it's there, and the Lord has shown us much, and He's given us the ability and given us pursuit, given us the Scripture and the work of the Spirit within us, here as His children and in His church, to pursue and know more about these mysteries. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 1, he writes to the church at Ephesus. He says here, let's back up in verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, we've been bought back, the forgiveness of sins. We've been forgiven according to the riches of His grace. He's done that for us when we could not do it for us for ourselves. He's done it for us and unto us, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Isn't it good to know what God's doing? Yeah. How do you compare knowing some of what God's doing now to how it was in your life before when you didn't know anything about what God was doing? Isn't it more comfortable here? Isn't it great to see the big picture? Isn't it great to see that there's more to life than just this life and this world? There's blessings here indeed. And the Lord does work and He does bless. But isn't it great to see things how God sees things? Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation or the stewardship of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. Isn't it great to be in Christ and to know it? And it not be a mystery about what death holds? And not be a mystery about how it is on the other side? And not be a mystery about how a soul is saved? And not be a mystery about, well, this man Jesus and what He came to do? And what was that all? Isn't it great for that not to be a mystery? Well, there are things and questions that we have and we ask, but isn't it great to see the purpose and will and plan and work of God? Hey, these things have been kept secret, but they have been revealed. They have been revealed, and not because of the receiver, but because of God. And in chapter 3 of this same book, look at what it says here. Look what it says here. Paul's a prisoner for the sake of the Gentiles. He has a stewardship in himself. That's what that word dispensation means. It's been given to him to be a steward unto the Gentiles of what? Verse number 3 of chapter 3, the scripture says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. He visited Paul directly one day, and he revealed unto him the mystery of Christ, the mystery of godliness unto him and how it applied to him, which in other ages, verse number 4, let me get it right here. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He's passing it on. As he said in other places in the scriptures, what I've received, I've given to you. Okay? And he'd been given it by Christ. Which in other ages, verse number 5, was not made known unto the sons of men, but as it is now revealed unto us, His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The mystery of godliness has been hidden, but it's been revealed. Praise God, it's been revealed. In Colossians, we see some of the same thing. In Colossians, in the epistle to the church at Colossae, we see here the same kind of wording, very similar in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. He's suffering for the sake of those that He's ministering to. He's bearing it gladly so that they might hear the truth of God's word. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation or stewardship. He's been given a responsibility of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even to fulfill the mystery which hath been hid from the ages, from the generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. The mystery of godliness has been hid. It has been secret. But praise God, by His Spirit, by His ministers, and by His Word, it has been revealed. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't it great to know that? Number 2, the mystery of God, the mystery of godliness is given to be known by the Lord's people. In Matthew chapter 13, in Matthew chapter 13. And look here and consider how the Lord suffers long with his children. He has called these men. He has called them and their families to be his disciples and to be near to him and to be instructed by him and to walk with him. And during the time of his ministry there in Galilee and Samaria and Judea. And he tells and he teaches in parables. He speaks generally to all that are at hand in different parables. And we've looked at those at different times. And I encourage you to continue to look and study and read them at the very least about what Jesus said in his ministry. The Gospels, the child of God that is saved should be filled with the content of the Gospels in the Scripture. You need to know about your Savior so you might declare him to others. And the Spirit of God will have that which to work within you. To be a good witness of what Jesus has done for you. But look at the care of our Lord as he's here in Matthew chapter 13. We look here in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now they didn't understand. He would speak the parable and they wouldn't get it. Those others wouldn't get an explanation, but his disciples at hand that ask him, they would get an explanation. And the Lord would bear long with them to instruct them and to teach them and to open the Scriptures to them. Remember how it was when the Lord raised from the dead and met back with his church? He opened their eyes to the Scriptures and the things concerning him. He is long-suffering with us. He is patient with us, but we need to be working. We need to be digging it out. We need to be pursuing what the Scripture says and asking him for help and asking him for what the mysteries mean. It's been given to us. It's been given to us to know these mysteries. The mysteries have been hidden, but yet revealed, and they are to be given to be known by the Lord's people because it is given unto you to know the mysteries. Do you? Do you? Do you avail yourself to know what the mysteries are, what these parables are, what these things in the Scripture and what they mean and how they apply? Do you seek the Lord's face to find them? May the Lord help us. And you know what? In that being given to the Lord's people to know the mysteries of God and to have the Lord that we can go to and have the promise of the work of the Spirit in our midst and in our hearts to learn more about the Lord and what His Word says and how it applies, can we not say that within the mystery of godliness there are other mysteries? Within the mystery of godliness are there not other mysteries? Well, let's take a look. 1 Corinthians 15, great resurrection chapter, right? Tells about the gospel and tells about how the resurrection is that seal upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead. And what's he say here? What's the Scripture say? The apostle writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 51, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. It's a mystery. You know, it's a secret, but it's not a secret to us. Within the mystery of godliness, there are other mysteries. And by seeking the Lord's face and being blessed by Him and His Word and it being given to us, we know and have great hope of the resurrection, don't we? We have great hope of the rapture. We live in the time that the Jesus might come yet today. And we'd see him in the clouds and this roof wouldn't hold us back. And this body won't hold us back and we'll go on to be with our Lord. That's a mystery. But we've been shown that. We've been given that by the Lord. There's mysteries within the mystery of godliness, and these are given to be known by the Lord's people. Not that we be ignorant, but that we know. We know in Ephesians chapter 5, there's another mystery within that mystery of godliness, isn't there? the mystery of godliness, namely telling about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ and how God came down and became a man. But from that, there comes other mysteries, doesn't there? We know about, because of his resurrection, we will raise again. And because of his promise and his promise to come back in the beginning of his second coming, he will rapture us out of here. But then there's another mystery. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The Lord's taken marriage, that everybody should know about how it is in marriage, and he's taken that and he's explained about his church. And you know what? His church is a mystery, isn't it? It's a secret, but it's revealed in his word. And praise God, he's revealed it to us. We experience it. We're part of it. The church here, Olmsted Baptist Church, we meet together here in this place, and the Lord has put us in this body. It's a mystery that the world, you know, your neighbors, your friends, your acquaintance, your family, they just don't get it. Right? They do not get it. It's a mystery to them. But it's been revealed to us. The Lord has shown it to us, and he's blessed us with it, not because of us, but because of him. There's mysteries within the mystery of godliness, and they are given to be known by the Lord's people. John 3:27. John the Baptist answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." I tell you what, brothers and sisters, if it's been given to us, may we stand in it, may we believe it, may we tell it, may we observe it, may we follow it, may we honor our Lord in it. If we're hearers of the word and not doers, may we be doers. And may we tell forth, as we're going to see here further in the message, about these mysteries. And then we see thirdly, that the mystery of godliness, praise God, has been given to the Gentiles. It's been given to the Gentiles. Romans chapter 11. It's been not only revealed to the Lord's nation and the Lord's people that he set his love on the Jews, but it's also been revealed to the Gentiles. Even to the Gentiles, the mystery of godliness has been revealed. In Romans chapter 11, we pick up in verse number 24, "For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?" Watch out, Gentile at Rome. Don't get all haughty and proud that the Jews were cut off and for a time and made a possibility, and the Lord made the provision that you might be grafted in. Don't get carried away. Verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits." Start putting our thumbs back behind our calluses and say, "Looky here what we've done. Looky here what we've got. Looky here what we believe." No, the mysteries that have been revealed unto us are to cause us to be humble before the Lord and to bow before him in his graciousness that he's done so for us. Not to be proud in any way. We could have been like the one that is yet far from God. He could have left us in that state. But he visited us. And he gave us eyes to see and a heart to understand the mysteries, the mystery of godliness. And he said, this is a great mystery here. He says, verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in." Yeah, even to the Gentiles, the mystery of godliness has been revealed. What a wonder. What a blessing. What a great salvation has been imparted unto us. In Ephesians chapter 3, I know I'm keeping you busy this morning. It'll help us stay awake. In Ephesians chapter 3, here are the church at Ephesus. They're in Asia Minor, the apostle writing to them. And he talks here about that we read earlier about how he is an apostle to the Gentiles, and the things that he bears are for the sake that the word of God might come to the Gentiles. And he says here in verse number 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. What's that grace? To be a carrier of the gospel, the word of God. Is this grace given? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. In this mystery of godliness, there is fellowship. There is fellowship with the Lord. He comes and saves the sinner. He, the sinner, identifies with their Savior. There is a walk with the Lord from that point to eternity. There's fellowship in this mystery. There's fellowship with the Lord in this mystery. And he says, I want to preach it. I want to declare it that it might be known by all, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. It has been hidden, but praise God, it has been revealed. And he declares here that even it has been delivered to the Gentiles. As we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That he would do so among the Gentiles, beyond his people Israel and the Jews, but even to the Gentiles. As the scripture declares, Gentile dogs. We're separated from the Lord naturally. We're a long way from Abraham physically. And Abraham was special to the Lord. And he made promises to that man that he has and will fulfill. But praise God that the Lord, through Jesus Christ, made it that yet we are the children of Abraham by faith. Because he was an example of faith. And we, by faith, have been blessed and entered into understanding of some of this mystery. It says here in Colossians 1, 27, note this point. Pardon me. Here's another aspect of this mystery. The secret that has been hid and has been revealed unto us, to the saved, to whom God, first Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here's the clarification, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a mystery. It's a secret. It's been hidden. That the Lord lives within sinners, that he saves. It's a mystery. Do you understand that? I believe it. I don't understand how all God does it. But see, not everybody knows about that, do they? No. Really, when it gets down to it, there's very few that really understand that, isn't there? But praise God. He's done it, and he's revealed it even to us, even unto the Gentiles. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 4, we see here a fourth point about this mystery of godliness is that there's a responsibility. And we've read passages where the Apostle Paul has declared about his dispensation. That's talking about stewardship, a responsibility given to him to carry this. And there, the fourth point is here we want to consider about this mystery of godliness is that there is a responsibility regarding these mysteries. There's a responsibility. We've been given them. They've been revealed unto us. We've been blessed by them. And there's a responsibility regarding them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards. Has the Lord opened your heart and your eyes to it? Has he saved you? Has he showed us wondrous things out of his word? You and I are responsible for it if he's done that. We're responsible to declare it, to tell it, to tell what sinners need in the place where they are, where we find them, to tell them out of the Word of God what they need. Sinners that are without Christ, they need the Savior. And those that are saved, they need to follow the Lord in baptism and the Lord's work in the church. And then what the scripture says about creation, what the scripture says about all different aspects, like we saw this morning. Maybe you've got somebody in your family that's contemplating about cremation. Has the Lord shown you that in the scripture, what the truth is? Well, you've got a responsibility to bear it and tell it. I've got a responsibility to tell it and take it to them. It's been revealed unto us. And he says here that he, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ. We are the Lord's witnesses. We are his ministers in this world and stewards of the mysteries of God. If we've got them, we're supposed to take them out there to this world. He tells here Brother Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3. There is a responsibility regarding these mysteries. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says here regarding ministers in particular, ministers and pastors, deacons. And I think these qualifications, I believe that the qualifications here given to pastors, of office of a bishop, a pastor, and to deacons, that some are mentioned in one and not in the other. I think they all apply across the board, okay? He says here regarding deacons, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, but holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Not just something that he can declare and give out, but something he believes, something he's convicted of by the Lord, the mystery of the Lord, the mystery of godliness. He has it within him, the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. He has it. He's been saved. He's in the Lord's church, and he's called to this work. Do you think that that's a qualification that the pastor is off the hook on? No. Do you think that that's a qualification that every child of God should have? Indeed it is. And men in the Lord's churches, even though the Lord might not call them through the church, or the Lord might not call a man to preach or to pastor, he should yet seek to be qualified if he can at all. Amen? Amen. And so here it is, there's responsibility. And then fifthly, regarding the mystery of godliness, knowledge of these mysteries is not enough. Brother, what? Knowledge of these mysteries is not enough. Brother Jim, how can that be? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's see what the Word of God says here. Knowledge of the mysteries is not enough. In 1 Corinthians 13, the agape, the love, the charity chapter, right? The Scripture says here in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, love with legs on it, not love that's just talk, but love that causes us to do, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Listen to this. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I know the Word of God in and out. See, there's no, the gift of prophecy in our day would not be the new revelation of any scripture or anything such as that. We have the scripture that we need. We have that which has been given. But that the blessing of prophecy would be, if you will, rightly dividing of that word that we have. That's how it would apply to us in this day. Though I have the gift of prophecy. Oh, you can handle the Word of God well. You know the Scriptures inside and out. You know about the ministry of the Lord Jesus inside and out. And understand all mysteries. See, understand regarding the mystery of godliness, knowledge of such is just not enough. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. The knowledge of the Lord, without a love to observe it, a love for the Lord to observe it, a love for the Lord to obey Him, to tell sinners that are in need of it, and a love for lost and dying souls. Knowledge of the mystery is not just enough, but there must be love for it to be pleasing to our Lord. Is there anything that's a mystery to the Lord? nothing secret to him, is there? Not even the thoughts of our heart. But did he not yet come with great love? He did indeed, didn't he? Amen. And he is our example. So the mystery of godliness, it's hidden and yet revealed. It's given to be known by the Lord's people. There are mysteries within the mysteries of godliness that looking into the Word of God can be found. And the Lord shows and reveals. The mystery of godliness has been given even to the Gentiles. And the mystery of godliness in that there is a responsibility regarding such. And there, and in the, regarding the mystery of God, knowledge of the mysteries is not enough. And then we come to Ephesians chapter 4, and the apostle in several of his epistles says the same kind of thing, but there is that we desire to be able to speak the mysteries of the Lord. And in Ephesians chapter 4, we, and this has been a theme of Olmsted Baptist Church for many years, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking here of the church. Speaking about that one body in verse number 4. There's one kind of body and we are it. And may we speak the truth in love and may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We have a responsibility in these mysteries, as we've said, to speak them, that we speak the truth in love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. We speak it and desire to speak it. In Ephesians chapter 6, the apostle asks for the blessing of the Lord in doing so. In Ephesians 6, verse number 19, as he's closing out the book, he writes and saying, pray, put on this armor of the Lord, praying always, verse 18 in Ephesians 6, 19, and for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. To make it known, to speak it. It's been given us to do so. In Colossians, he says in chapter 4, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance of the mouth, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. We have the blessing of to be able to speak to others about the mystery of godliness. And then, in Colossians chapter 2, we're close. In Colossians chapter 2, the final point regarding the mystery of godliness, these mysteries of godliness, the mystery of godliness, these other mysteries that we've looked at, they are to be received. In Colossians chapter 2, verse number 1, for I would that ye knew for what great conflict I have for you and them of Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and into all riches of the full assurance and of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Not just knowing that it's so, but knowing and believing that it's so unto action. Hear that? The acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Is it just something we say, or is it something that is us and in us? Mysteries in the Scripture, mysteries of God, the mystery of godliness. In conclusion, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, listen. This mystery of godliness and what the pinnacle of it is, and what's declared here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 6, and without 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You that are here without Christ, oh, we beseech you, believe that Jesus came in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He is without fault. He is without sin. He is the Savior. He fulfilled everything the Father gave him to do upon the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. In several occasions, we see the Spirit of God at hand, don't we? At his baptism. We see it, the Father speaking and the Father there at the Mount of Transfiguration. We see the Lord Jesus and the Father speaking and it being manifested there about the ministry of the Lord just shortly before his betrayal. He was justified of the Spirit in the Spirit. He was seen of angels because he is their King and he is their God too. Preached unto the Gentiles as it has been this day by this church. Believed on in the world is the testimony of the Lord's people, those that the Lord has saved, that they believe and trust in him, and that he was received up into glory and is at the Father's right hand presently. Will you receive it today? Oh, we beseech you, please receive it today, for great is the mystery of godliness.